Ma'aser Sheni Perikhei Mishnah Tesvav, the last Mishnah in Masechta Ma'aser Sheni. Now that we finished talking about the obligation to say the Vidui Ma'aser and what each of the sections of the Vidui Ma'aser includes from the Torah in Kisavo, we now mention one last Mishnah that is the same as a Mishnah that's going to be repeated in Sota Perik Tes. So eventually when we get to Nushan, we will come back to it again. And it has to do with several decrees that were decreed by a figure named Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There were actually two Yochanan Kohen Gadols in history. One of them was a much later Yochanan Kohen Gadol who came from the Chashmonaim. He was the Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and according to the various Mefarshim, they say that he became a Tziduki eventually. That is not the same as the Yochanan Kohen Gadol in our Mishnah. Ours is the successor of Shimon HaTzadik as the Kohen Gadol, which was in the time of Alexander the Great, at the beginning, before the Chashmonaim. In fact, this Yochanan Kohen Gadol is actually identified as the father of Matis Yahu from the Hanukkah story. Yochanan Kohen Gadol made several declarations at the time when the Jews had just come back to Eretz Yisrael relatively recently, when Ezra HaSofer brought them back from Bavel. And a number of declarations were made, including one having to do with Ma'aser Sheni and the Vidui Ma'aser. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, heavier Hodayos HaMaiser. Yochanan Kohen Gadol brought to an end the Vidui Ma'aser so that it was never stated anymore. The reason for that is that one of the things you say in Vidui Ma'aser is Nesativ LaLevi, that I gave the Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi. When Ezra HaSofer brought the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, many Levim, if not all of the Levim, refused to come back from Bavel. Some of the members of the Kohanim had non-Jewish wives that they refused to part from, and as a penalty, Ezra penalized the Levim and said that Ma'aser Rishon would no longer be given to them, it would only be given directly to Kohanim, who are from Shevet Levi, so legitimately they can accept it. But as a result, we could not say the Vidui Ma'aser anymore by the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, because we didn't give Ma'aser Rishon to Levim, so it would have been an untruth, and you can't say any untruths in the Vidui Ma'aser. Furthermore, Afhu Bitel Esama Orurim, he also abolished the Awakeners. The Awakeners were Levim who stood on the platform in the Beis HaMikdash and sang a Shira every day that included the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ura Lamasishan Hashem. Awaken, why do you sleep, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not sleep, Hinei Lo Yinom V'lo Yishan, but it was a statement that at a time when the Goyim are doing well and the Jews are having great difficulties, that this was an outcry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you letting the Jews suffer while the Goyim are prospering? At the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that was no longer true. The Jews were prospering, the Goyim weren't doing so well. And furthermore, the idea of somehow implying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sleeps seemed wrong, so he abolished that statement by the Levim. Furthermore, he also abolished Es HaNokfim, the cutters. At his time, it was a practice that when one needed to shecht a carbon in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, the problem was that the animal would thrash around violently. So to try to pacify the animal, people used to cut the animal on its forehead between the horns so that blood would run down into its eyes and disorient the animal, and then it would be easier to subdue it and slaughter it and kind of wrestle it to the ground. Yochanan Kohen Gadol worried that it looked like they were intentionally making a mum in a carbon, which is not allowed. Even though it was not technically a mum, nevertheless, what he had them do instead was permanently put some iron rings into the ground so that you could tie the behemoth down to that and subdue it that way. And that way, one didn't have to worry about cutting or anything along those lines. Furthermore, Va'ad Yamav, until his days, Hayapatish Makeh B'Yerushalayim, the hammers would bang and clang in Yerushalayim. This is a reference to Chol HaMoed. The blacksmiths of the Yerushalayim had a lot of business on Chol HaMoed, of the people who were being Ola Regel, and because it was a Davar Ha'avud, they would do this Malacha. But the Malacha was so obvious and so loud and so obtrusive that Yochanan Kohen Gadol feared that people would not know it was a Davar Ha'avud, and they would think you could do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, which would be incorrect. So he forced them to stop. And finally, uviyama ve'in adin tzorich lishol al hademai. And during the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it was not necessary for anyone to ask about demai, whether maisros had been taken properly. As we learned before in Masechta Demai, when one buys produce from an Am Haaretz, one can assume that truma was taken. And Rov of the Amoratzim took Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni as well. But because we didn't know, and there was enough of a significant minority that we weren't sure they had taken the maisros, one would ask the Am Haaretz, did you take maisro or not? Yochanan Kohen Gadol added a level of a siyag on that, and said that you should always take Maisros and Maisr Sheni from Demai, no matter what. So there was no purpose in asking the Amoratzim if they had taken Maisr or Maisr Sheni, because we wouldn't really trust them anyway, and we would have to take it once one bought it. As a result, one did not ask about this to the Am Haaretz. Hadron Allah, Masechta Maisr Sheni, and now on to the next Masechta, Mishnah Aleph, Perek Aleph of Challah. Challah is a mitzvah min HaTorah, which says that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, v'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz, it says in Bamidbar Tesvav, and it'll be when you eat from the loaves, from the bread of the land, which immediately tells you that unlike the Trumos Maisros, other Matnos Kahuna, this is not taken from produce, this is taken from loaves of bread or from dough. Tarimu Seruma LaShem, you shall separate out Truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Reishis Arisoseichem, as the first of your dough, you shall set aside challah tarimu truma. You'll set aside challah, a loaf, as a truma portion, kisrumas goren kain tarimu osa, like the truma portion of the threshing floor, like the truma that we take from produce earlier in the process, so too kain tarimu osa, you'll also set aside this loaf. And again it says, meri shisar risoseichem, tednu lashem trumal doroseichem, from the first of your doughs, you will give a truma portion to Hashem for your generations, which implies that even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, there is still a mitzvah of challah that needs to be set aside. And so when one uses a significant enough amount of dough to be mechayev in challah, one must set aside challah. But because there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen can't eat it anymore, and so what we do is we burn it and we dispose of it. In fact, the Torah does not give a minimum amount for challah. Apparently a grain or two would be fine, as long as you've still got a little chulin dough left over. But the practice, generally speaking, was that if you have a small batch of dough made by a balabayas, by a householder, it would be 1/24. And from a very large batch of dough made by professional bakers, they would take out 1/48. Which is, in fact, of course, a smaller percentage. Challah is only midrabanan, first of all, bizman hazeh, but second of all, in chutz la'aretz as well, there's a question, because it says ba'aretz, it says when you come to the aretz, to Eretz Yisrael. So doing challah in chutz la'aretz is only midrabanan in the first place as well. Now, the Mishnah begins, chamisha dvarim chayovim b'challah. Five different types of species which are made into doughs are chayev to have challah taken out, and they are loaves or dough made out of hachitim, wheat, bahasaorim, or barley, bahakusmin, and spelt, vishiboles, shual, and oats, vishifon, and rye. And there's some different discussions as to what these different grains are. This has come up. We had it in Kilayim as well. You can ask Yanki Zalmanowitz which grain is really which. But in any case, if you're making a dough out of these five different types of produce, these five types of grain, then they are liable to challah. And this comes from the word lechem. And we make gzeirah shavah to matzah. Matzah is also called lechem oni. Whatever kind of grain you could use for matzah, you can also use for anything that's going to require challah as well. Hare elu chayovim b'challah, says the Mishnah. So these are the species that are chayev in challah. Dough made milled from any of these species is going to be chayev. Furthermore, umitztarfim zeh imzeh, they combine with each other, and we'll see this in future Mishnayos. If you have a dough that you make with at least 1 1/4 kav of flour, and we'll start getting up to quantities later on in the Masechta, later on in the Perek as well, what happens if one makes two small doughs made out of two different types of species, and combined, when you put them together, as he decides to do, then it would make enough of the requisite size the minimum that you would need for challah. So what the Mishnah teaches us is not only do does from the same species combine to make it chayav b'challah, but even if it's made from two different out of the five species, can also combine it to require it to be challah. In the Mishnah later in Perek Dalet, there's going to be some discussion about whether the five species are divided into two groups, one being wheat and spelt, and the other one being barley, oats, and rye. But for the moment, we've just introduced the idea that they do combine, and that'll make a dough that's liable for challah. Furthermore, ba'asurin bechadash midlifnei ha-pesach. They are usher under the law of chadash, of a new grain crop, if you eat them before Pesach. You are not allowed to eat chadash until the Korban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, where they bring the barley offering, the Omer, that they then wave around and they bring to the Mishkan or later the Beis HaMikdash. So Chadash is Aser until the end of that full day of the 16th of Nisan when the Korban Omer is brought. Now you might think that it only applies to barley, since barley is what the Omer is made out of, but our Mishnah teaches us that all five species are not allowed until the Korban Omer is brought while they are still Chadash. Furthermore, umiliktsar lifnei ha-omer, it's also aser to harvest them before the omer as well. The omer is supposed to be the first harvest, reishis kitzirachem, and as a result, no other grain is allowed to be harvested before that grain, including barley and anything else. Generally speaking, many of the other grains do not mature before barley anyway. Barley is the first. Wheat, for example, doesn't usually mature until later. That's why you have discussions about the shtei halechem on Shavuos. So at this point, it's unlikely that anything would be harvested earlier than that anyway. V'im hishrishu kodem la'omer, and if they took root before the Korban Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, ha'omer matiran, then the Korban Omer renders them permitted. So if grain took root before the Omer, the Korban was brought, the offering was brought, then it's part of that year's crop. And as long as it's taken root by then, it's considered old enough to be potered as non-chadash by the new Korban Omer. But v'im lav, if it didn't take root in time, asurin at sheyavo ha-omer haba, then they are usher until the next year's Omer is brought. So if it didn't take root yet before Pesach, but it took root between Pesach and Shavuos, you're going to have to wait until next year's Korban Omer. For the moment, it's all still going to be chadash for the entire remainder of the next year until the next Korban Omer is brought.